closing the service. He's just thinking ahead.
It is so cool to be able to be with you guys. I mean, to be able to celebrate 21 years together is fantastic. And it was very nostalgic for me to watch Ant praying at the beginning here. I remember when we were down here in the 90s, we would go together to Gugulethu. This was back in 92, I think. We'd go out sharing in Gugulethu. And I thought this was just cool. I mean, we were out there inviting people to church. And later on, Anthony came and he told me, he said, I was so scared. I was sure we were going to die. He said, you know, back in those days, if there was a black guy walking with a white guy into those townships, you know, they always saw this guy as the policeman, you know. And he says, I'm sure they think I'm an informant or something. They're going to kill me. And I was just like, share our faith. I mean, but it's so good to see so many of you. Obviously, so many memories. You know, I remember John and Irina, of course, were one of the very first converts here in the church in Cape Town. And of course, what they've been through, the adventure that they've been on the last couple of years, and for God to have brought them right back to be with all of you is just amazing, you know. And of course, so many people. Linda Mayer, who's been so faithful, I mean, over the years. Ezra Fortein, who's just amazing. Just so much fun and light and, you know, just happy always. It's just incredible, you know. Of course, Reinhardt and Ivo, you know, we stayed together in a household together at one point. And it was just, you know, we were just going out and we felt like we're here to change the world. God has called us to evangelize, find people that love God. And Ivo managed to get this this fish. Someone gave him an Oscar fish. So we said, okay, cool, man, it's a fish. We'll have a little fish tank, you know, and we three bachelors living together. And little did we know, or maybe I didn't know anyway, he may have known. It's a type of piranha, an Oscar. So, you know, this fish, you don't give it fish food, you give it meat. And so I've taught this fish, you know, to actually jump out of the tank and get its food from your hand. You'd hold a piece of boerewors above the tank, you know. And the Oscar would line up like this, and he'd jump out of the water and grab the boerewors out your hand and go back in. And so, we had some of the sisters over on a date, and we said to the sister, you got to do this, hold the fish. And, you know, she was like, oh, I'm holding the boerewors. Came up, bit her finger, drew blood, you know. So eventually, poor old Oscar died. I think he saw a fly, jumped out of the tank, you know, when we weren't there, and we found him halfway to the door. He was sort of flapping his way to the door, but, you know, I mean, we didn't know what we were doing. But it is so good to be with all of you guys. I mean, there's so many names I don't even have time to mention. But the friendships, and of course, my folks being here and being part of the church is such a blessing. James and Maura, and, you know, Karen and Cornel, and you know, Vincent and Linda. I mean, there's just so many. It's just so many memories. And it's all possible because we serve the God of wonders. It's incredible. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about the God that we serve. But God is amazing. And I want to read, as you turn to Colossians 1, I'm going to have Revelation 21 come up on the screen, because it's just such a wonderful description of God and who He is and how amazing He is. But it says here in Revelation 21 verse 6, it says, He said to me, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, that's who God is. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is above all things and He is before all things. You know, He is immortal. He's present everywhere. I mean, it's so cool to think that God is right here with us in Cape Town. He's also in Johannesburg, believe it or not, with the people there. He's across the world. He's in Japan. He's in, you know, in America. He's also in different places all at the same time. But God is not even constrained by place. He's not even constrained by time. He's with us right now, but equally so, God exists in the future. He can time travel out into the future of your life and adjust events based on the prayers you pray now. I mean, that's who God is. He is incredible. He is the beginning and He is the end. Look in Colossians 1 verse 16 and let's read together. It says, For by Him All things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. You know, we serve such an amazing God, don't we? He's sovereign. He's supreme in the power and authority. He's completely in control of all things. There's absolutely nothing that happens in the universe that's outside of God's influence and authority. His passive will and His active will is in control of all things. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He has no limitations at all. He created all things, and all things hold together because of Him. Both things in heaven and on earth. All things were created by Him and for Him. You know, I studied out, what is the largest thing in the universe? Anyone know what it is? Currently, it's this particular star that'll come up on the screen here. This star is Canis Majoris. And it's a pretty big star. Now, you'll see in the tiny left-hand corner of your screen, or on this side here, is the sun. That little dot, not even the medium dot, the little dot, is our sun. Canis Majoris is a star that has a solar diameter of 1,950. That means it's 1,950 times bigger than our sun. I mean, it's huge. The largest theoretical object that scientists say could exist, they say, is a black hole. And they say it probably could weigh, the upper limit for these mega mammoth structures, about whatever this number is on the screen. Kilograms. Now, I did look it up, all right? Now, follow me here. This is what it is, all right? Follow the noughts on the screen. This is 100,000 million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion, octillion, nonillion, decillion, undecillion, duodecillion kilograms. That's how large these things grow. Or 50 billion suns just squashed together. That's how big these, I mean, it's massive. God made it all. But not only these big things, He made the smallest things in the universe as well. You know, for many, many years, people said that the smallest thing that you could find in the universe was an atom. An atom is awfully small. I mean, you can't even see it, right, at all. I mean, it's tiny. The actual size of an atom, all right, is 0.1 nanometers in diameter. I mean, it is tiny. It is a tiny little structure. Then scientists found out that that's actually really big. That, in fact, there are little electrons that spin around an atom. And the electron is 0.00000001 nanometers. And they thought, yo, these things are small. Now they've discovered that actually electrons are huge in comparison to what they found as quarks. Now, quarks are so small that they haven't found a way to measure them yet. They simply have no way of actually describing the size because they have no way of saying it. Now, the guy who's sort of describing this, he says, well, I'll tell you what, the easiest way to imagine the size of a quark is take an atom that's infinitesimally small and stretch it out. I mean, blow it up until it's the size of this, you know, ball here, all right? Now, blow it up bigger until an atom now covers pretty much the circumference of South Africa. And as it's the size of our country, approximately an atom. A quark is the size of that little dot on the screen there inside an atom. I mean, it's incredibly small. And the Bible says God made it all. Spoke it into existence. It's amazing. It's brilliant. I also looked up, what is the smallest monkey? This here is the world's smallest monkey. He's a pygmy marmoset monkey. I showed this to my kids. I said, look at this. These are the smallest monkeys. They looked at it. Oh, can't we have them? You know? I mean, we want them. I mean, these things are probably like a million rand each, you know, and there's like five of them left in the whole world. My kids are, can't we have them? I mean, it's like, you know. I mean, they're so sweet. Don't tell me. Who wouldn't want one of those little monkeys, all right? My kids are obviously doing well. They couldn't be here this weekend, but Elena turns 12 this year. So, you know, we're getting very close to the teenage years, and she's wonderful, and Luke's great, and they send the love to the Cape Town church. Of course, Luke's Cape Townian. He was born here, you know, so he loves Cape Town. But, you know, God made everything. Everything in the heavens and the earth was made by God and for God. You name it, thrones, powers, and authority established by God. He is the God of wonders, isn't he? I mean, he is magnificent. Now, here's an interesting thing. Scientists have discovered that when they look at the universe, and look at all the galaxies and all the stars and all the stuff that's spinning around, that there's not enough matter in the universe to hold it together. Because, you know, there's the balance between centrifugal force, which throws everything out, and gravity, which holds everything together. And they've managed to actually weigh the universe and figure out how much all the stars and planets and everything weighs. And they figure there's not enough matter to hold the whole universe together. And so they've discovered something which they now call invisible matter, or what they call dark matter because they can't see it. And they said, this stuff is everywhere. It's everywhere, and it comes through us right now. As we sit here, this invisible matter is passing through us, passing through everything in the universe. And that's what actually makes up the bulk of the mass of the universe, which actually holds everything together. Without this invisible stuff, the universe would be spinning apart. Planets would go out of orbit from the sun. I mean, it would all come apart. Galaxies wouldn't exist. I mean, it's incredible. The more you get to understand science, and the more that scientists understand creation, the more you just think, wow, God is incredible. We read in Isaiah that God never grows tired or weary, and he never needs to sleep. He never goes on holiday, and he never gets tired. He's always aware, always present, always in control. You know, Psalm 147, it'll come up on the screen right now. It says this. It says, great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. I mean, God knows all things, past, present, and future. There is no limit to his knowledge. He knows everything completely before it's even happened. He knows everything there is to know about economics, about physics, history, astronomy, everything about oceanography, biology. He knows about microbiology. He knows every form of mathematics there is. He is an expert in physics. He wrote the laws that govern this universe. He knows everything there is to know about psychology, psychiatry, schema therapy, and the human heart. His understanding literally has no limits. And this is the God we serve. He is the God of wonders. It's awesome, isn't it? 1 Chronicles 28. Turn your Bibles over there. First Chronicles 28, verse 9. It says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. You know, David is explaining to his son Solomon, and he's telling him a little bit about Yahweh, the God that he serves. And he says, God is so amazing, son. He's brilliant. He says, he not only knows every thought you have, but he knows the motives behind the thoughts you have. How awesome is that? Now, brothers, wouldn't that be a valuable thing to know about your wives? I mean, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, to know all the thoughts and all the, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. Wouldn't that be helpful? Eh? Sort of like this guy's walking on Cape Town Beach and he finds a lamp. And he picks it up out of the sand, and he rubs it, and out pops this genie. And the genie says, I will grant you one wish. So he says, what happened to the three? He says, I'm a Cape Town genie. You get one. So he says, okay. He says, I tell you what, He says, what I'd love to know, he says, I hate traveling. He says, I hate flying, makes me scared. You know, I always imagine I'm going to die, but I've always wanted to go to Mauritius. So what I'd like you to do is build a highway across the ocean, across the Indian Ocean, and build it across so I can drive my car to Mauritius. Can you do that? The genie looks at me, he says, John Munn, are you crazy? He says, you know how much it takes how much concrete and bricks and stuff to build a highway across the ocean, across the Indian Ocean? You know how hard that is? Have you lost your mind? He says, try again. God says, okay, all right, I know that was ambitious. He says, all right, I tell you what, here's what I'd like. I'd love to understand woman. Just help me understand their emotions and their feelings. Help me understand what's going on, you know. Help me understand the depths of their heart. So the genie turns to me, he says, how many lanes do you want on that highway to Mauritius? You know, God knows everything, the motives behind the thoughts. He's incredible. And he says, Solomon, he says, you need to serve God wholeheartedly. Serve him with wholehearted devotion, a willing mind. Don't serve him because you have to, son. Serve him because you have a willing mind, because he is the God of wonders. He's amazing. Don't serve him as an afterthought to the rest of your life. Serve him as your greatest passion in life. Don't serve him out of obligation. Serve him out of love. Don't serve him out of guilt. Serve him out of your desire to please him, because he's your creator. He is the God of wonders. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of why we live the Christian life, don't we? You know, back in the 90s, of course, Anna Marie and I, we led the church for a while. We came up with this brilliant idea that we try to get the church up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I think it was, on Lion's Head, and we'd go praying together, you know, every morning as a church. I don't know what we were thinking about, but we thought this was a good idea, you know, 5 o'clock. So, you know, we'd oftentimes study the Bible, you know, with people till like midnight, you know, go to bed, hop us four, wake up, you know, thinking, what am I doing? You know, get in our car, drive over, you know, go up Lion's Head and meet with a lot of disciples and pray in the morning. And it was nuts. I mean, it was day after day, you know, night after night. And I oftentimes remember thinking, why am I doing this? I thought, you know, I'm doing this because I'm in love with God. I love his people. I love him. I love who he is. I love what he's done for us on this earth. I love his son. And therefore, you know, when you're in love, you do kind of stupid stuff, don't you? I mean, how many of us can look back at a young Christian and think, boy, I just did some really dumb things. I mean, right? But it's because we're in love. Our God is amazing. He is the God of wonders. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it'll come up on the screen. It says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arms, nothing is too hard for you. God can accomplish all things and can do anything he wants. Nothing is too difficult for him. He orchestrates and he determines things that are going to happen in my life and throughout the world all at the same time. The physics of the physical world don't apply to him. He can walk on water. He can change nature. He can do anything that he wants. He can stop a raging storm. He rides on the clouds as his chariots, the psalm says. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock. His works are perfect. His ways are just. Forget Dwayne Johnson. God is the rock. He is the real rock. He's perfect. He's totally flawless. He's without sin. He's never had an impure motive, an unrighteous thought. He never, ever lies. He will never, ever give up on anyone who puts his trust in them. He can be fully trusted by all of us. He's the ultimate source of power and authority, and through him, everything exists. He is incredible. He is limitless. God made the stars. He made plants, bees, butterflies, water, oxygen, floods, river, ocean, sunsets, clouds, mountain, rain, forest. He made Cape Town. And he did an awfully good job when he made Cape Town. He made waterfalls. You know, a couple of years ago, there were a group of us who were saying, what are we going to do for our holiday? And we heard that they were planting a church in Zambia. So we said, why don't we just drive up to Zambia and hang out with some of the disciples there? So we got about three or four carloads of guys, and we went up through Zimbabwe, spent some time with the church in Zim, and just hung out with them. And they had a Bring Your Neighbor Day, so we invited people out. And then we went to Zambia, and they were just starting the mission team there. Slept on the floor in Barnabas and Bertha's house. I mean, studied the Bible with people, went out. It was just fun. And we came back via Vic Falls on our way back home. And we sort of went through Vic Falls. We spent the night camping there. And, of course, all these guys are bungee jumping off Vic Falls. And we thought, wow. See, why don't we do it? Yeah, let's do it. I mean, it was terrifying, but we did it. We bungee jumped. And, of course, you bungee jump off, and, I mean, it is a rush of note. And, you know, you come back up, and we were like, I want to do it again. I mean, that was unbelievable. And, of course, it's a little expensive, so you only do it once, right? You know. But I saw this week there was somebody in the news that had bungee jumped off Vic Falls. I don't know if any of you saw this. And the rope snapped. I mean, she bungee jumps off, and it used to be, when we did it, it was the highest bungee jump in the world. And she plummets down, and she goes down, and then as she gets to the bottom, the rope snaps, and all the people on the bridge are screaming, ah! She lands in the water, you know, and the rope, of course, turns and drags her down the river, you know. Everyone's, oh, she's going to die. This is unbelievable, you know. And the news, you know, the crocodile-infested Zambezi River, you know. I mean, there are no crocodiles near the Vic Falls. They're about 2 kilometers downstream. But, you know, in the media, you know, the crocodile-infested. Of course, this woman survives, and she's on YouTube, and she's telling the story, and, you know, and of course, I think bungee jumping is taking a bit of a, you know, their business, I think, is taking a bit of a dive. But, you know, but God has made this world for us to enjoy. He's the God of wonders. We can do amazing things as Christians. You don't have to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm going to live a boring life. My dad had his 80th birthday a couple years back. I know he looks amazing. I mean, you never know. I want to grow old like my dad. So my brother came from Canada. He lives in Toronto. And he came and we were talking. And we said, well, we want to do something that's so memorable. We said, why don't we go cage diving with great white sharks? So, you know, we drove out to Hunts Bay and we went out there. I mean, this was a freaky experience. I mean, you know, they take all this sort of this meat and blood, and then they pour it in the water like this, and then they say, get in, you know, the cage. And you're like, really? I mean, seriously? You know, and you're in this cage, and their holes are big, I mean, that you can see through, you know, the cage. And so, you know, and then these sharks start coming. And as soon as the shark comes near the cage, they bring this sort of this piece of meat right near in front of the cage like this. And this great white shark swims by, you know. And, I mean, I was sitting there, and you're floating, but of course you float towards the, you know, the cage. And you sort of try to, you know, I don't want to float too close. I mean, these guys come right by. And it was, again, such an amazing memory for my brother and I. We still talk about it today. But, you know, there's so many things that God has created for us to do that's an adventure on earth. It's fun. Being a Christian, you don't have to be boring. Serving God is one of the greatest and most exciting things you can do. And He's created this beautiful nature that in heaven, we're going to get up there and there's going to be beautiful things. No mosquitoes. No issues, right? No flies. I mean, brand new bodies, everything. No cellulite, no fat. I mean, just awesome. Everything that's good about creation. No sin, no temptation. Don't tell me this is not the greatest life on earth. To get a little piece of heaven now. Serving the God of wonders. You know, the amazing thing about God is that not only is His wisdom shown in creation, and His power is shown in creation, but His power is shown in how He changes people. You know, it's unbelievable. 2 Corinthians 3, turn your Bibles there. He has the power to transform us. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 18. And it says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, the amazing thing about Christians is that we can be transformed. God can take us and shape us and mold us so that we change totally. You know, I remember Ivor, when I first came down to the Cape Town church, Ivor was on the weak list. And we were just hoping for him, you know, to make it out to church. And I used to get with him and say, Ivor, you know, what's your spiritual dream? What? What's AA? I mean, it was just the furthest thing to have like a spiritual dream. I said, you know, God can use you powerfully. Yeah, you know. And look, I mean, God has transformed him. Him and his wife are doing an incredible job on the East, in the East Rand and the Joburg Church. I mean, it's just amazing. And God has done so many things in the Joburg Church. We had over 140 people baptized last year in the Joburg Church. It was incredible. We had a service of nearly 2,000 people. And it's just God has taken ordinary people and changed us, radically transformed us. You know, I remember Heskin. You guys remember Heskin, right? Jacques and I met Heskin at UCT Orientation Week. And we walked up to Heskin and said, hey, Heskin, you want to come out to church? He said, yes. And he came on out. And James and I studied the Bible, I think, and Jacques. And James discipled him, I think, in his first year. And I remember we used to talk about, man, if we can just keep Heskin faithful, you know, if he can just hang in there in his first year. And it was touch and go, baby. I mean, and Heskin is just... he's different. He's such a superstar. He's up in the Northwest. He's, you know, he serves the teens. And he's just an amazing, amazing brother that God has transformed. It's slow, but it's transformation that God radically changes us. I mean, Vanna. How much has God changed Vanna? Right? The general, right? You remember that? He thinks he can tease me and not get some of it back. Yeah. I mean, man, I remember him coming to church. I remember the first time he came to church, and there's this young, enthusiastic guy, you know. Looks like he's had like 5 cups of coffee, and he's just, you know. And he was so enthusiastic and so excited, you know. And I remember him coming up one day. He came up to stay with my dad and I. I think he was actually interviewing for the ministry. And so, you know, early in the morning, I think it was like 5 in the morning, he gets up, you know, and goes out to the swimming pool. And the next thing I hear, there's prayer. And of course, this is in Parktown North. All the houses are kind of like caped, they're all crunched together. I hear this prayer. Dear God, I love you so much. Help me to be bold in my interview. I mean, the whole neighborhood had to know what he was praying about, you know, I mean. You know, there wasn't a lot of that kind of tactful, you know, knowing. And God has changed him. And Lisa, I remember Lisa coming to our Bible talk. We had a Bible talk here in Leuvenstein in the flats here, a whole bunch of us. We had like 2 flats and people lived there. And we had people. Lisa came goth outfit. I mean, just, you know, I mean, didn't say a word in like the first 5 Bible talks, you know. I mean, and look at how God has changed her. It's a miracle, but that's the way God is. You know, God changes people so much that years later, people are astonished. And they look and they say, you are so different to when I knew you 10 years ago. And sometimes I think as Christians, we forget. Because, you know, God kind of works slowly. He's patient. He's on a different time scale to all of us. And he sort of works away. He's got a gentleness about him that he just, little bit by little bit by little bit, just changes the things in your heart. He creates stars, and then he comes into your heart, and he molds and transforms us so we become like Jesus. It's beautiful. He's gentle and kind with us. He transforms us. You know, God is also rich in mercy and love, isn't he? Psalm 145 says this. It says, verse 8, it says, should come up on the screen now. It says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And I think God has had a bad rap over the years, don't you think? His reputation, sort of in general society, is that, you know, God is this sort of mean, legalistic old man that loves to make lots of rules and, you know, and delights in being able to punish people when they don't follow the rules. I mean, it's just like, whoa, he broke a rule. You stop smiling in church, man. You're in church. Don't laugh. You know, you're serious. I mean, we sort of get this very strange view of how God is. The Bible says he's not that way. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in love. That's who God is. He's the greatest father that any of us could ever have. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says this about him. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And the Bible says that God's love for us is a great love. Carpenters, do you believe this? You know, sometimes we can sort of feel like, well, I know God loves me. He has to. He made me. But I feel like God kind of puts up with me. He sort of tolerates me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he has great love for you. He's passionate about his relationship. He adores you. He loves to answer prayers. He loves to be able to look at us. And yes, he shapes us and molds us. But he loves to answer prayers and help us in our lives. I mean, God adores you. He wants to be close to each one of us. There was a sister in the Boston church, and you know, she really wanted to help people become Christians. And she was sort of frustrated that she hadn't really helped very many in a while. And so she got on her knees and she prayed. And she said, dear God, I love you. She says, but what I need is I need you to send me an easy conversion. I need the encouragement. I need you to do this. I want somebody that's just easy. I don't want somebody that's hard. And because she has a chiropractic practice in a place in Boston, that the neighborhood and everyone's Jewish, and they're very rich and they're very Jewish and they're very not open to Christianity. And so she was finding it hard going. She said, God, just do me a favor, send me an easy one. The next day, I believe, a woman walks into her practice. She's got a sore neck. And she walks in and she says, oh, she said, I got such a sore neck. And she says, can you help me? So she says, sure, sit in this chair here. And she starts sort of working on her neck. And she says, so why is your neck sore? She says, well, last night I spent the whole night reading my Bible. And it's just my neck got all, you know, what have you. She said, reading your Bible. She says, yeah, I feel like I really need to get close to God. And I just spend my, and I don't understand it. And I just need somebody to help me. She's up. She says, I teach people the Bible. No, yes. I love to teach people to know God. She studied the Bible with her. In 2 weeks, this woman got baptized. This sister was shameless. So what she did, she said, God, she said, that was fantastic. Send me another easy one. I mean, she is loving this. Give me another one. Sure enough, a couple weeks later, what happens, this woman walks into her chiropractic practice and she looks and she says, I know you. She says, yeah. She says, you know, you studied the Bible with me 10 years ago. And she says, but I've come back because I'm ready now. And what had happened was this woman came from a Jewish background. And for her, she knew that if she converted to Christianity, her family would ostracize her. She'd be put out of the Jewish faith for converting. She also had a boyfriend at the time, and she knew that if she became a Christian, that he wasn't a Christian, she couldn't, you know, date him or what have you. And so she actually decided, it took 10 years for God to work on her heart. She flew to Florida, spoke to her family, said, "Look, I just want you to let you to know that I'm leaving the Jewish faith." She flew back, she came to this woman's office, she remembered 10 years ago, and she says, "I want you to study the Bible with me, I'm ready now." A couple weeks later, she got baptized. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God loves to answer these little prayers. He sort of like, just ask me for something audacious, ask me for something cool, and I'll do it for you because I love you. We were in Budapest at this delegates conference in December, and so all the European churches came together for a conference in Europe, and there were 700 people from all over Europe, and there were Russians and Germans and Italians, and we were all together sort of planning and praying together, and they asked me to do one of the opening prayers, and it's cold in Budapest, it's freezing, and you always imagine Europe in December, right, that there's snow. And so, I get up to my prayer and I pray for, world evangelism, world peace, whatever, And then I say, "Dear God, it would be so nice if we hear that if you could organize some snow, and it would just be great to be together in snow." So what happens is, people sort of laugh in the prayer and what have you. People come after me and they bring out their phone and they show me the weather report and they say, "Jay, I hate to tell you, but there's no chance of snow. There's no precipitation. It's too warm, what have you." So anyway, next morning we wake up, snow everywhere. I mean, it was just, I was like, "Snow, God, you answered my prayer for snow." I had all these sisters coming up to me, and these people coming up with all these funny prayer requests, after that. And they're like, "Okay, listen, I've got a 35-year-old daughter. She's still single. Can you put her on your prayer list?" I mean, it was so fun. It was just a kind little gesture. God is amazing, our kids started school just this last week, or 2 weeks ago, and my wife did a great job of getting all the stuff and for school, and it's all the new stationery and everything, and the morning arrives for first day of school, and she realizes, "I forgot to get my son's school shoes." So he's got everything, he has no shoes. So, he's freaking out. He's like, "Oh, Mom, this is so bad. I mean, everyone's, what are they going to laugh at me?" So Irene says, "Just wear your PT kit. Just go to school in PT kit." He's like, "PT kit? This is the first day of school. Everyone knows you're supposed to wear a school uniform." So anyway, he goes off to school and take him in. And Irene's back home and she's saying, "God, this is such a blunder. I mean, I got everything. I forgot the shoes." She says, "Look, do me a really big favor, God. Help no one to notice, particularly her teacher, that he hasn't got school uniform on." So I hear about this prayer, and of course I'm, "Sweetie, come on. I mean, people are going to notice. I mean, it's just like, So Irene goes to pick him up from school in the afternoon. And so she comes in, she goes to the new teacher, of course it's a brand new teacher, what have you. And she says, "Look, I just really want to apologize, she says, "What for?" That my son, he didn't really come, dressed. She says, "What do you mean he didn't come dressed appropriately?" She didn't even notice that he wasn't in school uniform. I mean, it's just, again, it's one of those, how didn't she notice? It's bizarre. And it's those ways that God does silly things for his children because he loves them. But we just have to pray these prayers because God adores us. He is the God of wonders. He is an amazing Father that all of us serve. He's rich in mercy and love. He doesn't have to answer these prayers, but he does as long as we have faith. Let me wrap this up. Guys, we serve an amazing God. He is the greatest Father that we could ever hope to have. He's full of wisdom and power. He's creative beyond description. And being in heaven with him one day and watching him make stuff is going to be like the most amazing experience that all of us have. He is astonishing in his brilliance. He's rich in love for his creation. He has the power to transform any of us if we will simply be faithful to him and hang in there through the good days and the bad days. And if we will have faith and pray the prayers that we pray to our God, we will all discover the God of wonders that we serve. I love you so much. It's so great to be celebrating 21 years with all of you. Amen.